Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon. You're listening to PWN Radio, Woman in the Morning, broadcasting woman-owned radio show 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And I am your host, Franciela Daly, and you're listening to Mommy Mondays on Full Time Mom Radio. Thank you so much for listening to us every Mommy Mondays. If you want to join in on the conversation, please call us at 602-753-1726. Again, the number is 602-753-1726. And if you're listening to us on demand, thank you. I get that as moms, we have work and we have our daily schedules, and sometimes at noon does not work. So thank you for taking the time to listen to us on demand. So happy National Coffee Day. I am so excited because I love coffee. I found some stuff on, I think it actually came in on an email, and I saw that Dunkin' Donuts was giving away free coffee, and it's actually their new hot roast coffee. And so I said, all right, I'm going to go get me a cup of coffee. And I sure did. So if you haven't already and you have a Dunkin' Donuts and you love Dunkin' Donuts, then go get your medium coffee for free today and enjoy Happy National Coffee Day. I think it's really funny just the different national days that they have out there. I was looking them up the other day, and I mean, they have everything that you could possibly imagine. Almost every day we have something that we're celebrating. So go to Google, look it up. There may be some things that you may have fun with. Especially if you're one always looking for different ideas for the kiddos and just whatever it is, right? So go and do that and enjoy yourself a free coffee for a happy National Coffee Day. Because I sure know that as moms, we definitely need something to boost us off. I know some people don't drink coffee, but I'm sure definitely that coffee drinker. So So let's see. Wow. I think it's going to be October already. I just cannot believe it. My daughter starts school like middle August, and already I cannot believe it's going to be October. There's like Halloween stuff all over the place. This weekend, my daughter and I, we actually went to Party City to check out some of the costumes because we're like, hey, before you know it, it's going to be here. And at first, maybe like months ago, she was like, I'm going to be Elsa from Frozen. So I was like, oh, well, we definitely have to go get that that costume, right? I mean, I could just imagine what you guys are doing if that's what your daughter wants to be for Halloween. So we went, and then all of a sudden she changed her mind. So I was like, well, we have a little bit of time then. We don't have to get your costume yet. And then we went yesterday to a really, really, really fun fall fest out here in Oak Lawn, Illinois. And it was tons of fun. And guess who was there? But Elsa and Anna from Frozen. And right away it's just so cute to see our kids. I don't know if you guys experience the same thing as I do, but I mean, even from Santa Claus to, I mean, literally, like, Elmo, just the different things that they have out there, their reaction is priceless. I mean, those are the moments where I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're the cutest thing ever. So that was the whole reaction on my part when she reacted to meeting Elsa and getting her autograph and Anna's autograph. And she was just ecstatic. So it was the cutest thing ever. So I'm sure, you know, not even for the boys, there's Transformers and just all those different, you know, the different trucks and just, I can only imagine the things that, you know, as a mom with boys, how it is. I unfortunately do not have any boys, but I do have a nephew. So I'm excited about that. He's 18 months. So once he starts getting more into those things, I'll get to experience that. But I haven't yet. So I'm pretty excited about that. This weekend was great. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We had some great weather here in Chicago. So just enjoy it as much as you can, because like I said, October is right around the corner. Before we know it, our weather likes to change on us. So sometimes we'll have snow before we know it. So I'm hoping that's not the case. And if it is a case, it's not surprising. So other than that, happy Monday. And I hope you guys have just a wonderful rest of the week. So today's guest, I'm really excited about her and just what she's up to, what she's created, and what she's really causing out there. I mean, really, it's phenomenal. I'm just so excited to introduce her. She is a professional, and she is a mother of four who has worked in real estate for over 20 years. She and her husband own several real estate businesses, some which are ranked in the U.S., and she founded Cares for Kids, which has served over 18,000 children since 2005. Cares for Kid Partners is a nonprofit 501(c) organization that believes in giving back to help children in need at all of their communities, even to the children in need in the international community. She's an author. She is a mompreneur. She's just living life and really not only living life, but also contributing to people in her life and people around her in her community. So we'll talk a little bit about her book and just who she is and what she's up to. And she's got some really, really great tips for the working mom. So if you are the working mom and just going through emotions or whatever it is, please, please listen in, take tons of notes. And I'm just so excited. Let me chime her in. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for joining us. And everyone, this is Marcy Fair, and we're just so excited for you to be here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you for a little bit.
Yes, definitely. Especially as a working mom and just what you're up to. Thank you for your time, for being with us.
Oh, well, I love that you were costume shopping this weekend. We are doing the same. Our two big kids are kind of past costumes, but I've got a daughter who's going to be a superhero, and my youngest is going to be a cowgirl. And
oh,
I love Halloween costume shopping. So fun.
I think one year I attempted to make my daughter's costume. That didn't go exactly how it was supposed to be planned, but it was okay. You still got the point of what it was.
But yeah.
I said I prefer just to put my time in looking for the costume and buying the costume, and we'll just do that. That is not what I'm gifted in. So
I am not gifted in making costumes either. So we're on the same page.
So you are. I know that you're not from Chicago, so. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I explained a little bit, but tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm a mom of four. My youngest is 10 and then 12 and now 19 and 21. So we, you know, have the whole range going on. And I work, and over the years I've tried different ways to work in my motherhood path, and there's really no right or wrong. It's kind of whatever works for you and your family. And so I've, you know, been full-time in the office, and my kids were in daycare. I've been part-time. I've been virtual. I've kind of tried it every which way, because it's tough to juggle both. But I really, really believe that we're all here for a reason, and I really believe in mothers pursuing professional development as well as their motherhood journey. And so I've done all of that, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. And so that's why I wrote Tilt, in order to share the things that have worked, that the women around me really like and that have helped them. And so I kind of have my hand in all kinds of different things going on at the same time, like everybody else.
Yeah, definitely. And I acknowledge the fact that you've kind of tried it all. I mean, I think that's the most important thing, is what are you like, I know everybody wants like an end result. So like, what are you out there trying, you know, so that you can see what works? So I think that's really important that you put that in. That's really good.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's no, I don't think anybody can judge anybody else's way of putting that together because it's so personal for you and your family. So, yes, I have tried it in several different ways over the years. And all of our kids, even the big ones who were, you know, spent some time in daycare when we were building businesses and stuff, they've turned out pretty awesome. So, you know, I don't want those moms to beat themselves up thinking that, oh, my goodness, if I can't be there right after school, that that's necessarily going to be a problem for them. And so I kind of talk a lot about how do you look at your motherhood and how do you focus on what's most important and do that and let go of the other stuff. So I talk a lot about that in TILT.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that's really important. I think I've even gone through that. I was a single mom at one point, so she spent a lot of time at daycare, and then my parents helped me tremendously before I got married. So,
yeah.
I mean, regardless, everybody has a situation or a circumstance, right? But
right.
I think even regardless of your circumstance, your situation, we all go through the same feeling of guilt, like I'm not there because I have to go
right.
do that, and I don't know if they're going to be raised a certain way. But,
right.
you know, like just what you said is so good. Like, it's okay. Like
yeah, well,
grace,
I think,
you know?
the whole issue with guilt, and of course that's, you know, in the title because it's such a bad word, and I switched it to guilt-free, because we can waste a lot of time and energy dealing with that emotion instead of doing the positive things that move us forward and the positive things that can make our motherhood great with our kids. It's not about being perfect, but it
right.
is about focusing on the things that mean the most and matter the most. So it's getting to know yourself, really getting to know your kids, and sometimes that comes down to asking them because we can make assumptions about who they are, but there can be a whole different set of thoughts running through their heads or what they really value. So there have been many times where, you know, I'll kind of look at one of my children and go, you know, I'm not really sure. And I'll sit down and ask. And then there's creative ways to ask if they're at a point where they won't maybe answer that direct question, where you can still get the responses you need to cater, to figure out how to have a happy and successful motherhood. So all the kids are different, but I really think that as women are continuing to pursue our professional development along with helping our children reach for their goals and dreams is our greatest leadership opportunity.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad you said that. I truly believe in that, too. So that's really good.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because you've kind of gone a little bit into your book. Again, it's the title is TILT, right? And like, what inspired you to write it? I mean, I know you kind of touched a little bit, but I think it's great. I was actually on your website reading a little bit. And, yeah, your message is really great, and even, you know, what you're out there to cause and what you've gotten feedback, too. I read some of the feedback, and I was like, oh, wow, that's really good. So.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I am passionate about helping mothers feel better about themselves and about encouraging them to find their purpose in their life and along their motherhood journey. And I wanted to share ideas with women on how they can determine what's most important to them and then teach them how to focus on that. And I believe that by focusing on the right things, moms can pursue their dreams with greater fulfillment. I've had a lot of positive feedback, like you noticed. And my mom ideas are kind of different, but they have worked out really well. And the only reason I really know that is from asking my children. And in fact, the opening story in the book is from my son. And when he turned 18, I thought, you know, he's about to go to college, and I still have three children left at home. And, you know, how am I doing, and what could I do better as a mom? And so I asked him, and because he's a young adult. I mean, he's a man. in many, many ways, and I respect him, and I asked him, and so the opening story in the book is how he responded, which was very positive, thankfully. And so I'm trying to share what's working for us to help other moms be less focused on what they think they're not doing and focus on what matters and do that.
Yeah, I think that's really good too. And I like the fact that I ask my daughter all the time, do you like that? And she's only six, so
yeah,
she's very young still. But I think it's really important that when they're already in those social circles and they're making decisions and they, you know, they're in different activities, it's like really important to get them engaged in what you're up to as well, because then you're giving them those choices and empowerment, right? So I think go ahead.
No, I totally agree with you. I've talked to my children like they were grown-ups for a long time. I mean, I'm a strict mom, but I have always treated them with a lot of respect for their thoughts and ideas and opinions. And sometimes I'll run even business decisions by them. Ultimately, I'm going to make the decision, but just to kind of have them feel a part of my professional world too. And I'll say, well, you know, I've got this thing I'm working on right now, and I could either do this or I could do this. What would you do? And you make them feel well-respected in that situation, too. I love having conversations with my kids. Again, ultimately, we're the decision-maker, and you've got to draw the line, but those are great. Those are great to have. You know, really, the first thing for moms to do to try to manage this, I think, is for them to choose what matters the most to them and their family, and that's their 20%. It's called the Pareto Principle, and of course I talk about it in Tilt, but it's the things that make the biggest impact on their life. And the rest of the stuff, the 80%, it's just stuff, and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. And we can let the 80% cloud our decisions and our actions and our thoughts, but yet it really doesn't matter. So one of the things I teach a lot about on this is your learning how to leverage. And I call that chapter Leverage or Let Go. Dirty shorts can be worn twice sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's all about...
I think that's fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you haven't had to make that choice, you're going to. And there are plenty of times my kids have had to go to school in clothes that weren't perfectly spotless. Because I had to make a decision, was I going to stay up another hour and wash something, or was I going to get my sleep, you know? And ultimately, they were fine. Nothing happened to them horrible. And so I talk with moms a lot about understanding what is your 20%, what matters and makes an impact on you, your family, and your children, and what really doesn't matter. Having a spotless house, I mean, it would be nice, but it doesn't really matter. The kids are not going to look and go, oh, my goodness, you have papers on the counter or your dishes aren't completely cleaned up, Mom, and think less of you. They're going to be happy that you, instead of perfectly cleaning up the house, spent a little time looking over their papers from school or played a card game or engaged in conversation with them than the house being perfect. That's just one example. But there's a lot of 80% that clouds our mom thinking and makes us feel guilty, but it's stuff it just doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah, that's really good. I will say that the other day it happened where I was like, okay, I am pretty tired. I don't know if I want to do another load of laundry. And
yeah.
I should have put the gym pants and whatever it was. In that load versus the load I'm going to put in, and whatever the case may be. And she wore them exactly. Nothing happened to her. She was fine.
I know. I've done that so many times, and it's okay. It's humorous. It's mom life, and the kids are fine. They really are. And getting a little
that's
more
really good that you say that. I think we look at ourselves, and it's like one thing I've been really – talking about is supermom. Like, we're not supposed to be supermoms. Like, that's not, you know, like we have this image of ourselves that we have to be able to like you said, juggle everything. And it's really not the truth in the matter of, like, how is our kids even benefiting when we're in that state of mind where we have to be super mom? I think they're actually being really not, they're not benefiting whatsoever, you know? So
yeah.
I think that's really good that you say that and that you talk about that. And yeah, it's just really, really good. It's like right on with what I believe in, totally believe in. So that's really good.
Cool. And I think we always assume the mom next to us is doing a better job than we are. And that's not true. They have their own juggles and their own struggles and their own mistakes they're making. But we just, for whatever reason, we're so hard on ourselves. One of the things I suggest moms do when they're really feeling badly about themselves or they're struggling with guilt or especially if you have a little one, I go get a hug. I talk to the little ones about, you know, I love you, and they hug you back, and they tell you you're their best mom. And the big kids, if they're well trained, they'll do the same. My big kids do the same, and it's all a matter of giving in to those. I call it filling their buckets, but putting into those relationships, making those people feel really loved and special. And then when it's your turn and you need to feel loved and special, you can go back to them and ask for it, and they'll give it to you in spades. So I also like to suggest that.
Yeah. I think we always need a hug or even just a little word of encouragement. Like, and it could just be, I love you, Mom.
Absolutely. Like,
It could be the most, and that's where it comes in, where the little things matter the most versus all this materialistic stuff or the way that it's idealized, you know? So that's fun.
Well, at the end of our life, all that's going to matter are those relationships. And
exactly.
So that's where we need to give our focus and know your 20%, so you're building those relationships.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. Definitely. I didn't look at it that way, like the 80 and the 20%. So I'm definitely going to look at it that way. It definitely gives a different perspective.
Well, you know, I think that I'm a student of business and learning and leadership. And I think I've taken a lot of those principles and applied them to motherhood because I think it's worthy of that. And sometimes we forget that about the significance of that role. And you get caught up in all the mundane side of it, the dishes, the dinners, the things that have to happen in the household. You forget the significance of that role. And so the Pareto principle came from business, scientific business principles originally, but I think motherhood's worthy of all those things. So, yeah, that's where it came from.
That's really good. Yeah, I think, and that's another thing as a working mom, if you, you know, go to a job or you own your own small business or whatever the case may be, you are going through a lot of different trainings at work and within yourself, personal development. And I think we forget to use those principles within ourselves and then attach that to motherhood. So that's really good that you're using that because I know I've definitely gone through many, many, many different personal development classes. And, you know, it's not till like the last minute I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can use this for motherhood.
Yeah.
And I'm just so focused on the other things, right?
Right.
That's really good contribution there.
Oh, good. We're on the same page.
Yeah, totally. Was there any other steps?
Yeah, well, there's so many things. You know, if a mom is feeling overwhelmed or discouraged, you know, other things I like to recommend. First of all, they need to know that's normal. If a mom is trying to do well with some professional career development and she loves her children, she is undoubtedly juggling a lot. Be good at both. And so I wrote a whole chapter on that. I call it Too Tired to Be Inspired. And I recommend several things. two of them specifically, I suggest you put good stuff in front of you all the time, from quotes to inspirational stories to watching hero stories on YouTube to a fabulous one, which is a gratitude journal, having a gratitude journal on your nightstand so that at the end of the day you write down 3 to 5 things you were thankful for from that day. It's one of the greatest ways to pull yourself out of personal discouragement is to focus on what you are thankful for. And we honestly have so much to be thankful for in living in our country. Another thing I really recommend for moms who are feeling overwhelmed is just take one baby action step. Just do one really, really simple thing towards your 20% or towards your goals. And what happens is, whether maybe it's just, okay, sending an email to someone about this project you really want to do, or maybe it is, you know, you wish you spent more time with your children, but you haven't been able to, so you carve out 10 minutes one night to play a game of cards before bedtime. It's a baby step, but what happens is when you take those baby steps, it gives you a positive energy to take the next step forward. So you keep moving forward instead of staying right where you are. So I really recommend those two things when moms are feeling overwhelmed or discouraged. And I have a whole lot of other ideas, but those are at least two to help them feel a little more guilt-free and positively moving forward.
It's good. So, yeah, definitely for just the moms that are listening, and I know I feel overwhelmed at times. It's normal. It's you know, you're not alone.
Yeah.
But really, like, just embrace that it's baby steps. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And you have to work at it, but you have to be the one that's enabling yourself to look at the positive quotes and the gratitude journal and the, what you're thankful for and all of that. I think it's really, really important. So that's really great that you said that and just really apply that to your life. Like, you know, I said, take lots of lots of notes in the beginning. Definitely just put that up on the mirror, like before you get ready for your day. Like, just what are you thankful for? And then put like a quote or, you know, whatever the case may be. It does really, really help.
It does make a really big difference. And another thing that that I share in Tilt on quotes is what I call my children's chalkboard. And I've had it at the top of the stairs in our house for about 15 years now. And I put quotes up there for the kids to try to help them have a good perspective on their growth and development and life. And it's I change them about once a week or so. Sometimes they're, you know, happy birthday to one of the children, their birthday's coming up, or sometimes it's a countdown to a vacation. But most of the time it is a quote designed to help them have a different focus on what they're doing. And the kids really, because, you know, if we try to say something to the kids, kind of inspirational or something like that, we sound really dorky. But if somebody else says it, or a third party, or it's on a board, then they read it. And I could give you story after story, but now my son, my oldest, is in college, and if you could see his dorm room, he has quotes all around the walls of his room.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's a football player. And he has taken that out into his college life. My next daughter, she's got them with her all the time. Of course, she's in social media, so she's always reposting or posting positive quotes and ideas. And even number 3, who's 12, she puts them on wallpapers on her little her little phone, and she writes them on little things in her bathroom. And so all the kids are absorbing these ideas, and they're not always hard. They're not always difficult. I actually have 25 starter quotes in Tilt.
Oh, wow.
Just to help moms get their own board going. But, like, one of them is first we make our habits, Then Our Habits Make Us by Dennis Waitley. There's so many. So inspiring yourself, helping your kids have good perspective as well. And, of course, I read the chalkboard every time I go by it, too, to remind myself how I should be thinking.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I like that. That's really cute. And they're so much fun, too. There's so many different chalkboards and eraser boards. And there's just so much stuff out there now. So you can get really creative.
So it kind of fits in with your...
Yeah, definitely. I like that.
And it doesn't have to be hard. It can be really simple. Are you smiling today? You know, who have you hugged
today? That's
good. It doesn't always have. So sometimes there's messages you're trying to get across to your kids for whatever their, one of my daughters was having some issues with friends. And so I put up a quote on the board for her. Of course, I didn't say it was to her, but I said, the quote was, in order to have friends, first you have to be one.
That's a good point.
So
I like that one.
There's a lot of messages for our kids that are maybe hard for us sometimes to communicate. And you don't think they're really hearing you, but they'll read that going by it. So.
Oh, I like that. That's really good. Especially when they're a little bit in that older mindset, I think, right? I know I was very little stubborn, even when my mom wanted to contribute to me. So I think that's really good just to have something up there, especially with the way social, like you said, she's into social media and things like that. I think when it's up there and it looks pretty or different, right, and it's coming from a different source, it's kind of bred a little differently, right?
Yeah, so. It's kind of like a quiet suggestion versus being in their face about it. They know
the messages,
and they'll understand often if they're coming to them. Sometimes we'll sit at the dinner table and we'll say, well, what do you think the quote means? Because sometimes they're a little bit harder for them to understand, and we'll talk about, well, what does that mean to you? And then they'll all share their thoughts on it. So, as far as dinner, too, which is, oh, my goodness, I am not a good cook. It's kind of a joke in our family. That does not come naturally to me. My favorite dinner I make is reservations, and so it's very difficult because I have very active chilled kids, lots of activities after school. It's hard to get those family dinners. But another thing I really, really, really strongly recommend is do get that dinner table time with your family where there's no phones allowed at the table, no TVs on, and you all really focus on each other. And it is such an important bonding time. And if you can do it, if it's only 3 nights a week and every other night's on the run, at least you did it 3 nights a week. And what we'll do is we'll go around the table, and because, again, the kids at different times don't want to engage in conversation, so at different stages, or if they haven't had a good day, so everybody answers the question, what was your low today and what was your high? And you just won't believe the stuff that will come out. Even if you are one of the moms who is picking your child up after school and you have the car ride home, there is still stuff that will come out at the dinner table that you did not hear that was maybe a problem at recess, or someone was mean to them, or they got an A on a paper and you hadn't heard about it, hadn't come out in conversation yet. So we love the highs and lows. Of course, they tease about them too, like, oh no, not the highs and lows, Mom. But they answer them, and everybody shares a little something, and it's a great family time, great bonding time.
Yeah, I really like those. And it's a different type of question. Who really asks, like, what were your highs and your lows?
Right, no.
So it's different.
You've got to do something different with the kids as they get older because our son was in, middle school. And I'd be talking to him after school, like, how was today? Good. How's football practice?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Everything was good. And I finally said to him, like, Parker, what are you saying good for? You always say good. And he goes, well, Mom, he stopped and he turned around and he looked at me and he goes, Mom, if I say my day was really bad, you're going to ask me a bunch of questions. If I say my day was great, you're going to ask me a bunch of questions. But if I say good, you leave me alone.
Wow.
So I said, fine, I need to ask a better question.
Right.
So that's wow. Where highs and lows. That's where highs and lows started. But it's been great for family conversation. And what happens, too, for the mom who's struggling with feeling overwhelmed and maybe you can't do everything, or maybe the meal you put on the table isn't gourmet, which that would be me. The fact that you've committed to having a family dinner a couple nights a week, and whatever it is you put on the table, and the fact that you are engaging in conversation with them, that's a serious 20% mom activity, and you should feel really good about fitting those in and making that happen. It will make a big difference over the long run. So there's so many little things that you can decide to do that will impact your motherhood and make a very big difference for you. So I really, that's a big one for us.
Yeah, wow. I'm taking tons of notes over here, so I'm just having really, like, really, really good key points. Yeah, it's really, really good. So thank
you. Good. You know, I think that it's easy for moms to have a bad attitude or just be so frustrated over the overwhelming, you know, the emails from teachers and, oh, there's another practice in the week, and, you know, all of the things that we're trying to manage. And one of the things I really want to encourage moms is to be very aware of how quickly your children will grow up. And there have been many, many times in my motherhood where I've been caught by surprise going, oh, my gosh, this child isn't going to have any more birthday parties for me to plan. And here I was last year completely overwhelmed with putting the party together and all the things, and then the cake fell on the floor in the grocery store. That happened to me the night before the party. And being so upset about that, and then the very next year when the party or the birthday came around, oh, my gosh, the child was past it and it was done. There weren't going to be any more of those. And so being aware of that your children are with you for 18 years. Now, I know, you know, some parents have older kids with them, but the idea is that they're with us for 18 years, and then they go out into their college years and their young adult life. Those 18 years fly by. And when we're in the middle of it, in the thick of it, and juggling kids on our hips and trying to get to the grocery store or Target or wherever, and you're thinking about all this, way too many things you need to do, just know if that child, like for you, is 6, well, you've got 12 years.
Well,
and 12 times 365 is not very much.
No,
and
not at all.
So I sometimes when we're really juggling it and struggling, I really recommend, you know, I'll think about it. Like I know right now our 12-year-old, I only have 6 more years with her. And, I mean, I could start crying even talking about it. And that means, you know, 6 more spring breaks, 6 more, you know, guaranteed vacation time here or holiday there, 6 more seasons of her activities. I mean, that's it. And
right.
So instead of feeling so guilty and frustrated and discouraged, do know that your motherhood journey shifts dramatically when they're out. And so make the most of that time when they're in.
Yeah, that's really good. So being aware, I definitely, that's huge. I think it was last year, my daughter graduated kindergarten and her teacher put a nice little, like program together. It was really short, like 2 pages. And one of the sentences said, I can't wait to see you in 2025 where you'll be graduating 8th grade. And when I see you, I'm going to give you a huge hug because you've accomplished another milestone in your life. And when I was reading that, I was like, Oh man, 2025 sounds really far away, and in all reality, it really isn't. It's going to come by really fast, especially knowing that 6 years went by this fast. So
yeah, it does. And the moms who have, whose kids have grown and gone will tell you that in a minute. And then, of course, you know, 3 years ago, I became one of those moms where my first one left. And I was sitting there asking him that question I mentioned earlier about how was I doing. And I was just looking at him, and, you know, he's bigger than me. He's got his own thoughts and opinions and ideas. He's a great young man. And I couldn't believe that our time with him was done, in those younger growing up years was done. So it does. It will fly. So just know when you're juggling and struggling, count that out real quick. If your child is 12 and you're like me and you have 6 years left, it's only 6 times 365 days. It's not that long. So make the most of it. Just make the most of it. And
that's
it tilting. Yeah, I call it tilting. It's that seesaw. So we're going to tilt one way, and we're going to tilt the other way as we go through. We're never going to be balanced. I say balance is impossible. Memories are better.
Yeah, I saw that quote, and that's really good. I was like, wow, yeah, like, exactly. Balance is impossible. So, and I really like that, because when it's all said and done, it's like, okay, what did I do today that, you know, had an impact in my daughter's life, or, you know, if you have a son or multiple children or whatever the case may be, well, you know, what was it that you did that they're just like, wow, I got to have a little bit of my mom today, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, in all reality, that's the most important thing.
It is. And don't, but for the, you know, if you're really, sometimes you have to really tilt to the professional career side, and you can't do something really sweet every single day for your children, just know that you fill their buckets along the way, making them feel loved and special. And then when you have to pull a little bit because you've got to dig into some big project or do something that is for your career, that then you pull back out of that bucket a little bit, but then you got to tilt back. But you tilt back and forth over time. So just know that you may not be able to do something super sweet for your children every day, but over a month or over a quarter and a year, yes, you can. And you need to focus to be sure you do. But don't beat yourself up if you can't do it every day. That's we tilt.
Yeah, I like that. That's cute. I like that little. It's cute. I really like that.
Great. Well, is there anything else you'd like me to try to share to help on that your audience has said or that you would like me to share?
Well, you've gone through so much. We still have about 15 minutes left. I don't know if there's any last thoughts or, what have you achieved through your writing or, you know, anything like that that you would like to share with us just to close out?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing for me in writing Tilt was to try to reach more mothers than I could in my community alone. So, you know, thank you again for letting me join you today. And hopefully we're helping some of the moms in your community. There are some women around the world reading it already, so I'm very grateful for that. My goal with it is, you know, because you're supposed to share your goals because then you generate the cosmos, right? That's the way I say it. So my big crazy goal with Tilt is to help 10,000 moms and raise $10,000 for our children's charity, Cares for Kids. So that's what I'm working on through it. So I'm very excited, very grateful that I've had the opportunity to share. But, you know, I think that when it comes to, you know, looking for your moms, looking at their own motherhoods, going, well, what, you know, what am I going to do? How do I figure out my 20%, let's say? The first thing is to try to get real clear on your most important values. And your values are going to be, can be integrity. It can be honesty, love, family, faith. There's so many core values. And knowing really in your heart that these are the most important things. One of them for me is absolutely love. I have a whole chapter on it because I think it's very easy for us in our busyness to forget how important it is that we focus on love. And so I am very deliberate in my 20% that, as I've mentioned a few times, that I'm filling the kids' buckets. And that can be really easy. With my oldest, who's in college, I'll text him pretty often, and I don't expect him to text me back all the time, but just saying, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. Hope you have a good practice. Hope you do well in your exams. You know, whatever that may be, one of my love ideas for him that he doesn't necessarily know is I have a mom commitment that every month while he's away at college, because he's out of state, I mail him a goodie box. And it's full of all kinds of, you know, treasures from the dollar store. nothing fancy. It's usually a bunch of goofy stuff. But he knows I'm thinking about him. And I have little things that I try to do with each of them. Nothing fancy, but just little reminders that they know that I love them, from putting notes in their lockers to stuffing little notes, or like I've got a little squishy Halloween stuffed ghost thing I'm going to put in my little fifth grader's snack bag in the next week or two approaching Halloween with a little note. And just little things like that. But the other side of the love is to not forget to love on yourself. You know, it goes back to that, the whole airline thing where you're on the plane and they tell you to put the gas mask on yourself first. Well, I would never naturally do that. Ever.
Right.
I would immediately take care of all the kids and then I'd pass out. If that ever happened to me, I hope it never does. But that would be my natural inclination. And then, of course, I'd be useless to anyone. So I really encourage moms to, while you're investing in your relationships with your children and your spouse or your significant other, that you also invest in yourself. And I know what it's like to not have any time to do that, so or feel like I don't have time. So sometimes my investing in myself is just I've got all the kids out of the mama van, and I turn off everything. Turn off the music. I turn off my phone, and I get 15 minutes of quiet time to myself while I'm driving to wherever I'm going. I mean, sometimes that's all it is. When the four kids were really young, my quiet time was in the bathroom where I could escape. But then if some, you know, some ladies will have an annual ladies trip, and I think that's awesome if you can do that. But if you can't maybe get away or that's not financially feasible, there's a lot of things you could do for yourself if you will be aware of it. It may be going to the coffee shop and getting yourself your favorite coffee and letting yourself be there for 30 minutes or 15 minutes alone and just think about, you know, your life and what you're doing and or read a special book. But loving on yourself is really important, and we forget to do it.
Right. No, I talk about that a lot with our just the community. But it had, I mean, even 5 minutes, just so, you have to give yourself something. Because you can, like you said, filling their cups, like how are you filling your cup? It's so important that we remember ourselves in all of the, you know, the chaos or, you know, the just the daily routine. Let's just say that, the daily routine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then especially because, you know, if we are working moms, we're out there and we're giving to whatever it is that we're working on. And that we don't remember ourselves, you know, we're there, you know, giving ourselves, you know, giving them 100% of ourselves. So I think it's really important that when that's all said and done, like, okay, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. I really like that about the car. And even if you're on your way from home from work, just take an extra 15 minutes out of your route home and just do something for yourself.
You know, honestly, sometimes I'll just pull into a parking lot and just sit there in the quiet for 15 minutes just to have that little bit of time to stop and think. And so there's just, they, you know, moms need to know sometimes there's some women who will can get away and do big fancy trips and things like that, and I think that's awesome. But know that it's important to drip on yourself, too, as you go along. And what is it that makes you feel like I got a little bit back today? And maybe it is. Maybe you've got a book you want to read. I've got a great suggestion for one, but maybe there's a book you want to read. And so you pull over and you sit in the parking lot for 15 minutes and read for you, because, you know, when you enter the house and you go, can get back into that busy world. You know, another thing, too, that I would suggest moms really think about in terms of this whole idea of how can I be guilt-free and enjoy my motherhood journey, I really talk a lot about how important it is that we let our children grow up and give ourselves both wings along the way. And there seems to be this thing going on in a lot around our generation of moms who I believe my theory is that they're feeling guilty because of maybe their professional development or what they're doing. And so they're actually doing too much for their children. And they're disabling their kids. And so I teach a lot about how to do less for them and enable them. And so even this morning, got the kids to school, and my 12-year-old had forgotten her project that she worked all weekend to finish that had to be turned in today. I didn't go get it for her. Even though I adore this child, and it hurt, I feel badly not doing it. If I had gone home and picked it up and taken it back, not only did I not have the time, but how would I have helped her by doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I just would have taught her that, okay, you can screw up and somebody else is going to fix it and you'll feel no repercussions from it. That's not the way life works. And
exactly.
So she's going to, her grade will be dropped, and she did a beautiful job. She worked on it all weekend. I mean, I hate it for her, but if I tried to fix her problem, I would be disabling her. And so I want to encourage moms to know that it's okay that when your kids mess up, that you're not solving their problems all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of our parenting responsibility, is teaching them how to fish for themselves.
Yeah.
And when my oldest was in elementary, and he'd come home with elementary homework, and he'd ask me a question, I'd be like, gosh, you know, I'm not really sure. You should Google it. Oh, he just got, oh, he was so aggravated. He hated that word. He was so aggravated with me for not just answering the question right away.
Mm.
But what I was teaching him how to do was to find the answer himself.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is he has absolutely learned how to solve his problems. Now, he's not perfect. He makes mistakes. He calls and needs help on things. But instead of my always being, well, here's the answer, I'll say, well, go here to try to find the answer. Go there to try to find the answer. Go to your professor to discuss why this grade is low and either argue for why you think you deserve a better grade or figure out where you screwed up so next time you'll know. And so we're in, you know, so I think a lot of moms are trying to swing too far the other way, maybe out of feeling guilty, but in fact they're not helping their kids at all. And what happens is when we teach our kids how to solve their problems, even though it's imperfect and it's not always smooth and sometimes it's painful because you really want to fix their problems, like this morning for me with my daughter. You've got to know in your heart that as a parent, for us to help them learn how to figure out and figure out their solutions, even if it's not perfect, you are empowering them to know how to take care of their problems later. And it's been wild and amazing to watch our oldest in college. And, you know, I felt like I should offer to help him a little bit because that was such a big change. And I'd say, you know, what about getting signed up for your college classes? And he told me, I got it, Mom. Mm. I said, wow, okay, well, what about your books? I mean, do you know how to get your books for college? That's totally different, you know, ball game. They don't just hand them to you. And he goes, I got it, Mom. And he did over and over and over. He has just got himself a couple jobs and playing ball, and he's out of state. So I just want moms to know that you're enabling your kids to work through their problems and issues, which are inevitable in life, is something that is a great source of giving your kids wings and giving them to yourself too.
That's really, yeah, I definitely, thank you for just mentioning that. I think we feel guilty and we feel like we have to go do something in order for them to feel like they're there or we're there.
Right.
When they make a mistake. So that's, we're really, thank you for contributing that to us in what, just your situation, right? Like what's happening over there for you and how you've handled that situation. And it all goes down to experiences and, you know, just different situations we've been through and how we,
right.
And how we handled them. That's all. That's really what it is. So.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, there's no right or wrong in how,
exactly.
And how moms decide to do it. But I want to encourage moms to not feel badly when they are trying to, because I think, in fact, when you're doing too much for your kids, you disable them. And
mm-hmm.
And they're stronger and you're stronger when you enable them. It's not easy. Parenting isn't easy. But
no.
the tougher you are in the younger years, the stronger they'll be as they grow up. And then as they gain more freedoms, they'll for the most part, have the responsibility to handle them. So I really like to encourage moms to feel that way about it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. You know what? I do see something here on a link to a download. Is that something that you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, sure. If any of your listeners can go to my website, which is my name, Marcy Fair. .com, MarciFair.com, and there is a download on there. And if they want, I do send out monthly mom inspirations. They're just kind of little quotes or short stories that share an insight that I've learned usually through School of Hard Knocks and
yeah.
To try to help moms feel better, just like a good shot in the arm. A couple times a month, so they can put their email in on the website, and I'll include them in my mom inspirations. And also, yes, there is a download. When they put their email in, they'll get 10 tips for better balance today, which we all know there really isn't such a thing. I teach them how to tilt.
Nice. Well, thank you, Marcy, for everything, for just contributing to us and just sharing who you are and what you're up to and what you're doing for. I mean, I know it's going to over exceed the 10,000 moms that you're out there to help. So thank you so much just for who you are and just being with us today. I definitely learned a lot. So I'm sure many, many, many other people have learned as well.
Well, thank you very much for having me. We're all learning all the time. So, but I really appreciate you having me. I love what you're doing for moms and trying to encourage them to feel that they're normal and we're all going through a lot of the same things at different stages of our motherhood. So thank you very, very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it, and I love what you're doing too. So thanks.
Oh, thank you. And again, what I'll do is I'll have on my link, fulltimemom.org/mommyblog, I'll go ahead and put just some key points of what we discussed, and then you can go ahead and re-listen to the show if you need to, you know, take other notes. And then also I'll have the link for how to get the free download, and then the information in regards to how to sign up for that newsletter as well. And I, yes, thank you again. I really, really appreciate it. And just I want to leave everybody with your quote because it's great. Balance is impossible and memories are better. So just really remember that, moms, because that is so, so true.
Wonderful.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. Thank you. And once again, you guys have been listening to PWN Radio, Woman in the Morning. I hope you enjoyed today's program as much as I did. You can catch us every Monday at noon Central Time at Full Time Mom. Don't forget to listen to our next show next Monday. Visit us at pwnradio.net. And I'm Franciele Daly. Have a blessed and wonderful rest of the week. Thanks.